It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Host of Us and Them, Trey Kay, explores conventional ideas about what it means to be a man.
Well, I think it goes back to the caveman days. I mean, you know, who ruled the cave? The man.
Cavemen, the patriarchy, and fairy tales. Stay tuned. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In the latest episode of WVPB's Us and Them podcast, host Trey Kay explores one of the world's most fundamental us and them divides, the power imbalance between men and women. In this excerpt from an episode called Cavemen, the Patriarchy and Fairy Tales, Trey starts with a conversation with his nephew.
Chris?
Hi there, Uncle Trey.
Hey, how you doing?
I was recently speaking with my nephew, Chris Kay. He's 23 years old now, but when he was a teenager, he was quite an athlete. He was a state champion swimmer and a standout on his school's varsity basketball team. But during his years of competition, he sustained a couple of serious concussions. His parents got him checked out, and the doctors kept him out of sports for a whole year. Now, Chris was, and is, a big kid. He's the kind of kid the football coach sees walking down the hall and says, "Hey, you thinking about coming out for football?" And that's exactly what happened. The football coach asked him to play. And Chris's buddies were also pressuring him to play football. "Come on, man. You gonna be a wuss?" But with the history of concussions, folks around him weren't sure that this was a good idea. While he was mulling it over, he asked me my opinion.
"I remember at the time knowing your mom was really concerned and that, you know, that she was never gonna be really happy about it. And I said, I think you might want to just, you know, let this go." What you said to me right after that is you said, "Uncle Trey, I think you've been taking too much Vagisil."
Oh, man. That does sound like me when back then.
It really stuck in my mind. And I kind of thought that what a bizarre connection. I mean, I was worried about you. I was worried about your health. And you, like, kind of were talking to me as though, like, I was a girl or that I, you know, was thinking from my vagina.
I don't remember that specifically, but I certainly can see myself saying that back then.
So this kind of whole idea that you got to kind of step up and be a man and kind of do the manly thing.
Oh,
right?
Sure. I mean, you know, most of my relationship with my dad growing up was traveling around the country and playing basketball or competitively swimming. So it was constant competition. It was constant competitiveness. Yeah. And that's kind of what he drilled into me was, you know, to be tough, to, you know, suck it up, suck up all your injuries, etc. I mean, I'm sure he said, "Be a man or don't be the inverse," several times.
Suck it up and be a man. How did we get to this? That conversation with my nephew, Chris Kay, and that Vagisil comment, it really stuck with me over the years. But what brought it to mind was recently listening to an excellent podcast series called Men by my friend John Bewin from the Scene on Radio podcast. If you haven't heard it, you should. John's really doing important work, and I love it because the things that he dives into are very us-y and them-y. Like last year, John and his co-host, Chenjerai Kumanyika, produced a multiple-part series called Seeing White, which smartly and sensitively examined the history of white privilege. And as a follow-up, John partners with veteran journalist Celeste Headley on this Men series, and they dig into another complicated subject, that of the patriarchy and male domination throughout history. It's a deep dive into how, when, and why men invented the patriarchy. The Men series starts off with John speaking with people at a strip mall in Durham, North Carolina. And he asks them, why do they think that throughout history, males have had a privileged and dominant societal position over women?
I mean, the obvious answer would be back to hunter-gatherers, to when men were out providing, being the provider, if you will?
Well, I have to go back way before Christ. Why? Because God created man first, so man was in control.
Okay,
first.
So that was the way it was intended.
That was the way it was intended.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it goes back to the caveman days. I mean, you know, who ruled the cave? The man.
I spoke with John and Celeste about their journey exploring this topic, which seems as timely as ever. I wanted to pick their brain and see what they learned about men's role in society and how we got here, and to see if I could learn a thing or two for myself. John, I love the montage that you do in the beginning series where you go to people, I think at a strip mall in Durham, North Carolina, and the questions that you ask and the responses that you get are completely predictable to me. But what was that experience like of going and speaking to those people?
Well, that's always just an awkward thing to do, and it's one of the least favorite things to do as a radio producer, to just walk up to strangers. But it was really by design to capture what I expected, the sort of predictable answers to questions like, how did men kind of seize the upper hand in the first place? And to have people talk about the cavemen being physically stronger, or to talk about being God's will that be the case, and just kind of illustrate the way that we tend to think about these things, frankly, in our ignorance.
Throughout this men series, John and Celeste speak with significant thinkers, historians, and social scientists like Meg Conkey, a professor emerita of anthropology at UCLA. She's an author who's spent around 50 years doing archaeology in the French Pyrenees.
I didn't like this concept of the caveman. It sort of rubbed me the wrong way in terms of as if our past was all these men dragging women around by the hair. And I also realized archaeologically, a lot of the time they actually didn't live in caves. So the whole idea of a caveman, and then of course its extension, the sort of inner caveman that some men feel they need to express, sort of bothered me. And I said, okay, I've got to go back to some of the basics.
I just love how you have these archaeologists say, well, not so fast. That's really not the way that it was. Celeste, did you know that history? Was there something about that surprised you in John's reporting on that?
It did not surprise me in the least. I've known that history for a very long time, including the very questionable usage of the word caveman. It's there. Like, some of the best minds in the world have been telling us this now for some years.
But as you heard in that montage of voices, the notion of the primitive caveman as the ancient model that determined the social order between the genders, Celeste Headley says that's something that's deeply embedded in the psyche of many people.
We tell each other fairy tales. And when you report something that goes against that fairy tale, everyone goes, whoa, 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 wait, Goldilocks likes the baby bear's porridge, not the mama bear's. I tell it right. So it's always encouraging when someone who's in the position of privilege and power is willing to actually break that fairy tale apart in a way that's perhaps less flattering to them.
So much of this series really gets down to really how the patriarchy was established. And I would just like to ask you quickly, I mean, I know it's a tough question and a complex question, but how do you think the patriarchy emerged?
We don't actually know. So let me tell you a totally nerdy, wonky answer, which is that when human beings became farmers and stationary instead of traveling around all the time, childbirth became very different. It became dangerous, more dangerous. And also, women ended up taking care of allowing babies to, say, nurse for a longer time, et cetera, et cetera. So childbirth sort of became a longer period of downtime for women than they had for human beings for most of their existence. And I have to assume that during that time, men stepped in to fill that gap. In general, when people have the chance to seize power, they generally do. And once they have power, they generally try to protect it.
And I guess that, as Celeste would say,
that there has been kind of like a fairy tale or a myth or something to kind of fortify that decision of the hierarchy between the genders, right? That's basically what we have seen in the intervening years, no?
Yeah, one of the absolutely central points that our series made was that this notion that there's something kind of natural about this hierarchy, that there's something inherent to the way that quote-unquote men and quote-unquote women are in some innate way that led to this division, these divisions of labor in this hierarchy, that, you know, that's just baloney. It's socially constructed, and we can construct society along different lines.
We've been listening to an excerpt of the Us and Them episode called Cavemen, the Patriarchy, and Fairy Tales. To hear the entire episode, download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org.
Hi, I'm Dave Mistich, senior reporter here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. 2018 has been quite a year in state politics. From a teacher strike right in the middle of the legislative session, a busy primary, and Supreme Court impeachments, West Virginia Public Broadcasting and NPR has been following these stories every step of the way.
You can support that level of news coverage here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Reporters like Kara Lofton and Dave Mistich, the whole news team here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, your support helps make it happen by calling 1-800-723-4687. My name is Chuck Anzalevich. It's wonderful to be with you on this Wednesday morning. I'm here in the studio with Kara Lofton, and we're hoping that you'll give us a call right now. We haven't had too many callers so far during Morning Edition, and we'd like to hear from you right now. Call 1-800-723-4687. Just listening to that report from Trey Kay about evaluating the relationships between men and women and the hierarchies that go on there. That was really, really fascinating reporting. I love that.
It's super interesting. Many of the programmings that Trey does are fascinating. It's an award-winning podcast. We are an award-winning newsroom. And you've been listening to West Virginia Public Broadcasting for a while, but you aren't a member yet. You've heard us asking for support, but you thought we were talking to someone else. No, we're looking at you. Whatever the reason you didn't give before, now is the time to put aside the excuses and pitch in. What's a comfortable place to start your membership? How about $5 a month, maybe more? West Virginia Public Broadcasting counts on listener support. It's our largest source of funding. So your gift goes a long way toward bringing you the in-depth news and accurate information you count on.
Call 1-800-RADIO-87 with your support, not only for the news, but just, you know, helping to keep West Virginia Public Broadcasting going at our quality level. And this day, in my lifetime, I've seen so many changes in the way news media is delivered to people, and there's podcasts and all kinds of different ways to listen to the things that you want to hear. But I think there's something really charming and nice about live radio. I'm a big fan of live radio. And even when you don't have internet connectivity, just think of the fact that you could take a battery-operated radio just about anywhere in West Virginia and stay in touch with NPR and West Virginia Public Broadcasting's local news coverage. It's your support that makes it happen. So I hope you call us right now at 1-800-723-4687.
And if you pledge by 7 p.m. tonight, you'll be entered into a drawing for a $500 Amazon gift card. Current sustaining members are already entered into this drawing. It's one of the benefits of giving a monthly gift, so thank you. But you have to pledge by 7 p.m. tonight if you're not a sustainer yet. That's and that will give you $500 Amazon gift card. It's our thank you to you for your support. And thank you to Lisa from Charleston for her gift this morning. We really appreciate everything that you have done.
Thanks to your support, we can keep that news reporting going. Here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, our network of regional reporters are doing so much more to bring you diverse perspectives and concerns. You learn about the lives of those who may not live next to you, but they're still your neighbors. And then that insight makes us all better, more informed citizens. Won't you make your support by calling 1-800-RADIO-87, 1-800-723-4687.
Because you love West Virginia Public Broadcasting, it may be Morning Edition, it may be classical music, support this programming today by going online to wvpublic.org or calling 1-800-RADIO-87.